warmest of welcomes to one and all. Lift up your hearts to God and reach out in loving acceptance to all around you, because we are all children of God. Amen. My name is Laura Lee Axtell, and I'm a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so we can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it in to the ushers during passing of the peace. Today's radio broadcast is provided in memory of Elaine Neusmeyer, given by her family. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Here are a few announcements. To help Pastor Sana get to know your name and so visitors feel welcomed, please wear your name tag. If you don't have one, leave your name on the page near the name tag holder. Are you or someone in your family graduating from high school and planning to attend a college, technical school, or community college? Scholarships for member youth up to $250 are available. An application can be picked up at the church office. The deadline to submit an application is May 15, 2026. The Notables Choir presents Celebrating Community today at 4 o'clock p.m. at the Leeser Henderson Middle High School. Admission is free and donations are welcome. The Zion photo directories are in. Please pick up a copy in the overflow area and mark off that you have received your copy. The Congregational Care Team is looking for two volunteers to help support our church family through visits and phone calls. This will only take about 5 hours a month and is flexible with your schedule. If you have a heart for listening and serving Zion members in need, please contact Pastor Sana by email or calling Diane at the church office. Registration is open for our Vacation Bible School, which takes place June 15th to 18th. It's open to all children from preschool to sixth grade. You can register on our website. Do you receive our weekly email newsletter? If not, please email Diane to let her know to put you on our email list. Now let us prepare for worship.
Two men were leaving Jerusalem on their way to Emmaus. They'd been told that Jesus had risen. They wanted to believe, but their faith had been shaken. On the road, they met a stranger. They told him the story of Jesus and how they had thought he was the one. The stranger talked about the scriptures and how they pointed to the Messiah. They invited him in to share a meal with them. And as they broke bread, they finally recognized who he was, Jesus. And then he vanished. Right away they left. They had to tell the others. It was a long way back, but that couldn't stop them. They couldn't keep this good news to themselves. They had to go, spread the word, share their joy. They had met Jesus. Now it's our turn. We can't waste another minute. The message of Christ is never fully ours until we have shared it with those around us. So let's go.
Thank you. Grace to you and peace from our Mother, Father, God, and sibling in Christ. We welcome you to this hour of worship. My name is Sana, and I am your pastor. Whether this is your first time or you've been with us for a long time, you're welcome here. Let us prepare for worship. Please take a couple of deep breaths and settle yourself into this space. Bring your awareness. God is present and eager to speak with us this morning. Please join me in the call to worship. We need your presence on the long road, God.
The road between fear and hope.
The road between the place where all is lost.
And the place of resurrection.
Like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus.
We are in need of your company.
Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Holy One. Please rise in body or spirit for the opening hymn. Loving God, come and speak to our hearts today. May we, like those on the road to Emmaus, find your words burning with hope in our lives. Strengthen us and give us courage for the journey ahead. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Please join me for the prayer of confession. Oh, Jesus Christ, sometimes we are so busy talking with each other that we fail to find you besides us.
We are not so focused on our questions that we fail to create the silent spaces that allow you to speak with us and enlighten our journey.
Stay with us, Jesus Christ.
Reach out towards us.
And invite us to pause and meet with you.
We call your name, O Christ.
And hope to discover you here.
In our community.
Amen. Whether we believe or not, God never leaves us or forsakes us. Let us open our hearts to receive the grace which Christ brings to us in full faithfulness. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Peace I leave you, peace I give to you. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's pass the peace with one another. Let us pray. We come to the table of God this day, not sure that we dare to believe in God's presence with us. We hear the words of institution, "This is my body, this is my blood given for you, poured out for you, that you might find forgiveness." And we still let doubts and fears enter our lives. God, we want to follow you. We need to follow you. For it is too easy for the empty promises of this world to dazzle our eyes. And so we come to you, God, with all of our fears and doubts, our joys and sorrows, our longings and dreams. We bring these things to you in hope that you will hear our prayers and respond to our cries. We bring to you the names of those people we love for whom issues of loneliness, pain, suffering, grief, loss of faith. We pray for the family and friends of Richard Pinney, who passed away this week. Prayers for Mark Pinney's family. We pray for the speedy recovery for surgery of Glenn Braun, who is at Makona Hospital. We bring to you the names of people who have rejoiced in the new faith, who have reconciled with loved ones, who have survived tragedy and sorrow, who are happy, who want to dance in celebration for their good fortune. Hear us, heal us, bless with us, be with us, O God. For we ask these things in the name of the one who was raised, that we might have eternal life. Amen. Please join me for the song of praise, "All the People on Earth Do Well," number 7. Thank you.
Scripture lesson, Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4, 12 through 19. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord. In your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of the holy word. Amen. Amen.
Our second scripture for today is the Gospel of Luke 24, 13 to 35. Now on the same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, there they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then the beginning with Jesus and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been known to them in the breaking of the bread." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. God, enlighten us this morning. Open our eyes on our journey to Emmaus. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So the title of my sermon is Road to Emmaus, Part 1. It begins with the end. I didn't have it by the time Diane did the bulletin, so I feel like I need to say it because Brian insists on a sermon title. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I have a confession to make. Last week, I selected a hymn for our service that was new to this congregation. For those of you who don't know, part of my responsibility as a pastor is selecting hymns for Sunday worship. So you can blame me when you don't like a hymn. This is new for me, and I'm unfamiliar with the music we sing at Zion. I almost selected two more new hymns this week, but I was politely informed that the list from which I was drawing songs was not known to the congregation. I didn't know. As you know, I'm new here. This is my fifth Sunday, okay? And I'm still learning what we sing. I know from personal experience how frustrating and sometimes dangerous it is to introduce new things to a congregation. New things that and too fast can be very dangerous. Some people come to church to see familiar faces and sing familiar songs and want to feel good and uplifted, right? For them, church should feel safe, familiar, and comfortable. These are not unreasonable expectations. It's okay to want that. But some things have changed in Zion in the last year. Pastor Jan left in September. She was a beloved pastor who brought new energy and vitality to the congregation with 40 years of pastoral experience. She was an accomplished accompanist and knew the perfect hymn to match her sermon themes. I wish I had her musical talent and experience. Pastor Jan gifted this to the community when she was here. She was such a blessing to us, to this community. So it makes sense when I asked the council this last week what changes they welcomed at Zion the most, most of them wrote down Pastor Jan coming. She brought much desired stability and leadership after many years of transition and leadership changing. Losing her leadership was a huge loss for this congregation. And just as the disciples had hope that Jesus was the one who would redeem Israel, many at Zion had hoped that Pastor Jan would stay forever, or at least until her retirement. The expectation was that Zion would have many years of her leadership, but it only ended up being two. Not nearly enough, not nearly what was expected, and not nearly what was desired. So here we are again, in another transition period. And this time, we have a new, younger, unseasoned pastor from the Twin Cities who doesn't know your hymns, who doesn't preach or pastor like Pastor Jan did, and who is making some of us longtime members a little uncomfortable and maybe upset with her newness. And that's okay. I love feelings. I'm a therapist. I can sit with all your feelings. Wait, is it too soon for me to be talking about this up here? I hope not. I'm not trying to call anybody out. I want to name what I am observing and reflecting back to you, because that's actually my job as an interim minister. I confess I was inspired by today's gospel to share my observations about Zion. As I read and reread the Road to Emmaus, I kept thinking about how Cleopas and this unnamed disciple that we don't know was a man or a woman, by the way, was talking about what had happened to Jesus. They were trying to make sense of it all. These two distraught disciples were walking along the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Just 2 days before, these two disciples, along with many others, witnessed the humiliating and violent death of their beloved teacher, leader, and friend. That night and through the day on Saturday, they sat with each other in despair. And now on this day, Resurrection Sunday, because it's still Resurrection Sunday in this story, there is a glimmer of hope. Mary Magdalene and some of the other women in their group had visited the tomb in which their leader had been buried and found it empty. There was talk of resurrection that their leader had talked to them about for 3 years, but it was too soon to tell whether it was a miracle or some sort of hoax. So they hung around waiting for as long as they could, and now it was time for them to go home. These disciples had lost so much more than a friend. Their dream of what the kingdom of God would look like as they had imagined it, the hopes and dreams about which they had oriented their lives for the last 3 years, the visions that had caused them to give up fishing and tax collecting and give up their lives in order to commit themselves to following Jesus, was gone. They had hoped Jesus was the one. They had hoped, like we had hoped. And now their hope was gone, and they are in deep grief. Each disciple who had been part of the community of Jesus now had to come to terms with the life on the other side of death of their leader. They had to figure out what to live for now. Now that the vision and mission that had brought order and purpose to their life was no more. So not knowing what else to do, Cleopas and this unnamed disciple were now wandering home, trying to make sense of it all. They were suspended between loss, confusion, anger, and maybe still perhaps daring to hope. They were emotionally, spiritually, and physically worn out from what had just happened. They had been powerless to prevent the events of the last days, and they were powerless now to do anything to change the situation. See, the road to Emmaus is a road between the now and the not yet, an in-between space, a liminal space of where we are and where we want to be. The road represents our spiritual journey. Emmaus is a Greek word that means warm spring in Hebrew. So the road to Emmaus represents our spiritual journey through healing. And on the other side of healing, we find new beginnings and new life. That's what the road to Emmaus represents. Our spiritual journey of healing to new beginnings and new life. And although they were probably not aware of it, these disciples were in an in-between phase or space, a transition space, like we are, where humans hate to be. But the biblical God is always leading us to these liminal spaces. God is always inviting us to move from one place or one state of being to another. Look at the Bible. From Abraham to Moses to Joseph, Jonah, or Ruth, these people who are called to be from one place to another, they go through the wilderness, through whales, through desert, to find the promised land or salvation. This in-between space or transition place creates an inner crisis. We have left the tried and true reality we know, or it has left us. And we have yet to replace it with something else or someone else. This is Abraham leaving his home country and his father house for a land he did not know. It is Joseph in the pit. It's the Israelites wandering in the desert between Egypt and the promised land. It's Jonah in the belly of the whale. It's Mary weeping at Jesus' tomb. It's the disciples huddled in the upper room. It's these disciples on the road to Emmaus between the life they had known and whatever was supposed to come next. This is a time for intimate emotions and dangerous questions. Maybe something new and wonderful was at works, but who knew? Cleopas and the unnamed disciple chose to walk together and talk about all the things that had happened to them. They could have decided what they had been through was so personal, so traumatic, so confounding that they didn't want to talk about it until they had gotten their handle on it. Or they could have chosen to walk together, but avoiding talking about what was really going on, chatting away about anything else but that. That's not what they did. While the experience of the weekend was still fresh and raw and unresolved, these disciples chose to walk together and talk with each other about all these things that had happened. And there was something about this willingness to walk and talk together and speak honestly about the intimate issues of their lives that caused Jesus to draw near. They weren't praying in any formal way. They weren't doing a Bible study. They weren't worshiping in the synagogue. They were not having formal quiet time. No, they discussed the stuff of their lives, the things that were having an impact on them so deeply. And something about that, the nature and the quality of that conversation, opened up space for Jesus to draw near. Like most of us, these two disciples may have found it hard to tell a stranger about something that happened to them, something that affected them so deeply. And their response to his question was to be still. They were mute with grief. But this gracious stranger didn't try to rush them out of their grief, didn't force them beyond what they were able to, and didn't try to manage the moment. Instead, Jesus stood right there with them in their grief, opening up the space for them to experience all that they were feeling, giving them time to find their words. They accepted Jesus' invitation to tell their story when he asked, "What are you discussing with each other while you're walking along?" The disciples could have chosen to push this stranger away, but they didn't. They tell Jesus everything. They share their truth, the story of their faith. They tell Jesus how their high expectations had been for their crucified leader, a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all people. They describe their devastation at his death, their confusion, their loss, their uncertainty. They tell Jesus the whole story. And Jesus, he listens. He hears them, allowing them the balm of describing what happened and trying to make sense of it all. And then, when they're done, he tells the story back to them. And when he does, the story changes. In its retelling, the story becomes something far bigger, far deeper, far older, far wiser, far richer than the travelers on the Emmaus Road understood. "Here is what you're leaving out," Jesus says to them. "Here's what you're missing." When he retells the story, he restores its roots and its glory. He grounds their story in memory, in tradition, in history, in scripture. He helps the travelers comprehend their place in the narrative that long precedes them, a narrative big enough to hold their disappointment and grief without being defeated by it. When Jesus tells the story, the death of their Messiah finds its place in a cosmic arc of redemption, hope, and divine love that spans the century. When Jesus tells the story, the hearts of his listeners burn. And this is what happens when we accept God's invitation into a transitional space. This is what happens when we choose to walk together and get real about what is going on in our lives and our lives together. Something healing and magical happens when we're willing to walk together and speak honestly and openly about what is really happening. Jesus draws near and helps us to understand our story in the bigger story of love and redemption. And this is my invitation to you as your transitional minister. I hope we enter this liminal space willing to tell our story, willing to be honest and vulnerable together, able to speak our truths and share what's on our hearts, share the joys and disappointments of what has happened here, while allowing ourselves to understand the story of Zion as part of a larger, bigger story of love and redemption. When we allow Jesus to draw near, he sets our hearts ablaze with the fire of truth and guides us from confusion to clarity, from discouragement to faith, from absence to presence. Grief and disappointment have the ability to narrow our focus and narrow our story. We can lose all sense of the big picture and our ability to place ourselves in this broader, more expansive context of God's encompassing story. We can get upset about new hymns and things not being the way they used to be. But God invites us to keep walking, keep telling our story, and keep attending to the burning heart. Zion, we haven't gotten where we want to be yet. Nobody likes the wilderness or this in-between space. I don't either. But that's where we are. That's where God is inviting us to over and over again. And I know it's uncomfortable, but that's where life transforms. That's where resurrection happens. That's where we meet Jesus on the road to Emmaus in our spiritual journey. May it be so.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
We didn't expect that to be a solo, but you did a great job. I realize the lyrics are not in your, but that's okay. We'll sing it again soon. It was beautiful. Thank you so much. Now it is time for our offering. God, we give you our time, talent, and treasures. May they be pleasing to you. Amen. We'll do the offering while the bells will play. Generous God, you bless us with life, purpose, and opportunities to serve the world you love. We offer you our gifts in Christ's name, not seeking greater gain,
but desiring to enrich life around us with your love. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. The new song that I picked last week, and we played it again. I know you were curious. The Emmaus story has resonated with the followers of Jesus Christ across time because it speaks to the place of our deepest hunger, our desire to know that Christ is with us. The profound truth of the Emmaus story is that Jesus makes his presence known to his disciples around an ordinary table in the simple act of breaking bread. And so we too gather around an ordinary table with the same hunger, trusting the promise that in breaking the bread, Jesus Christ will be present for us. Let the Emmaus story be our story today. May our eyes be opened and our hearts set ablaze in the sharing of this bread and wine. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Please join me in prayer. God, we give you thanks for calling forth creation and raising us from the dust by the breath of your being. We bless the beauty and bounty of the earth and for the vision of the day when sharing by all will mean scarcity for none. We rejoice that you call us to reconciliation with you, with all people, and with all creation everywhere. We come to the table in remembrance of the gift of Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be the good news. And now we pray together the prayer that Jesus prayed. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We remember on the night when Jesus and disciples had their last meal together. Jesus took the bread and blessed it, gave it thanks, and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you and for all people. Do this in remembrance of me." I'm cutting it up. I made this bread. It's a little bit homemade. But it smells so good, and it's gluten-free, and I just made it this morning. So I'm cutting it up so that folks can take pieces. So don't expect the yummy bakery bread that we had last week. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Ministering to you now in Christ's name, I give you this bread and this cup. Let us pray. God, Pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered and on these gifts of bread and this cup. Let them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we become the body of Christ, that we may join with you to promote the well-being of all creation. Be with us, fill us, so that the Holy Spirit can move through us. Amen. In the center aisle, the ushers will invite row by row for you to receive the elements. You have the option of wafers or my homemade bread. I won't be offended. The bread is gluten-free. Come forward to the altar and receive the bread and the cup. You may eat the bread individually as you receive it, reflecting on its significance. This act is a time of personal reflection on Christ's sacrifice. Hold on to the cup and we will partake that together. You will leave the cup in your front row when we're done. If you wish to be served, just raise your hand and I will come to you. Come, the feast of love is ready. All are welcome at Christ's table.